I'm so glad Pastor AJ led us in that psalm as we think about the greatness of God and what all he deserves. This season's easy to get confused and acknowledge all these crazy things that are going on around us and maybe even allow ourselves to worship those things. Lord, he would convict us if we're doing that. Jesus is the center. You know, think about football this time of year. It's a big deal. And I think about the position of the center. All eyes are on the center. They're listening for the quarterback, but they're watching for that ball to move. And I kind of see Jesus in that way. He tells us when to move. He indicates when we don't move. God the Father is right behind him whispering, or not whispering, but shouting the commands. And the rest of the linemen, the rest of the players, they're hearing the commands, but they're not moving until they see the center move the ball. Jesus is there directing our lives. And we don't need to be ahead of him or behind him. We just need to move when he says move. You know, I got one question for you this morning, and I hope that you'll be honest in your answer. I mean, you can be really honest. Has anybody here heard God tell you to build an ark? It's funny. You don't have to try to figure out where it's going. I'm telling you what, we've had rainy Sunday after rainy Sunday. And listen, if he's told you to build an ark and he hadn't told me, I'm okay. You just tell me, because I want to make sure that I'm prepared. The rain's supposed to stay all day. And I just can't thank you enough for being here. You know, how easy would it have been just to roll over and it's dark. Take that nap. Continue the nap that you had. But, you know, you're here, and we thank you. And we thank you for those that are online as well. We're not slamming you. But we do thank you for being here. You know, we've been talking about different facets of Jesus as we celebrate this season. Facet of Jesus the first week was, it was his plan, God's plan. Jesus was God's plan. We celebrate that. Last week we talked about the fact that we celebrate Jesus as our Redeemer. And today, we're going to celebrate Jesus as the Son. Now, maybe you don't see a need for that, but it's important that we see that. The angel told Mary, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. You know, a firstborn son in the Old Testament tradition is a place of honor. Receives a double inheritance at time, most of the time. A greater carrier of a greater mantle, has different benefits, distinct benefits and obligations in the family. There's a lot riding on the firstborn sons. I remember one of the guys I played ball with in my 20s worked at a stone cutting masonry business. And I stopped by one day just to pick up the game schedule for the team. And I could tell in that place he had great authority. So I just said, hey, is this your business? He said, no, it's my father's. But I got a lot of backbone in this place. It means he carries a lot of responsibility and a lot of authority because he was the son. Susan and I enjoy watching royal dynasty kind of shows and history. And the firstborn son is also important in those settings. That son, who is really a prince, grows up. And the tradition is that he would take more and more responsibility, and at some point he begins to represent his father wherever he goes. I want you to think about that. Jesus is God's son. And he's been sent to speak for the father. And while firstborn sons have a place of prominence in the world, it's really important that we think about Jesus in that way. He has a way more prominent position and purpose in the world than any natural born son would ever have. You see, as God's son, Jesus speaks for his father. God's son, Jesus, is God in the flesh. As God's son, Jesus does only the will of the Father. And he desires only to please the Father. It's important to realize that Jesus didn't have his own agenda. His only agenda was the Father's agenda. That's all his agenda was. To help us understand the reason that we are to celebrate Jesus as a son, we really need to remind ourselves of some of the reasons that Jesus was sent to the earth. First and foremost, he sent Jesus to mankind to mankind to show us his love. By the way, which is completely opposite from the reason we have children. We have children to fulfill ourselves. Jesus was sent by God so that he would bring us fulfillment. God sent him for that reason. So Jesus was sent for us. John 3:16-17, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his one and only begotten son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that that world might be saved through him. So, the first thing we need to keep in mind is Jesus the Son, he was sent to show us God's love. The second thing, God sent Jesus to mankind to show us his heart. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, paying the price to set them free from the penalty of sin. So not only was Jesus sent to the earth to show us God's love, God sent Jesus to the earth to show us his heart. It's real easy to think that God is just this rule maker and so judgmental about everything, but he sent Jesus to this earth to show us his heart. The third thing it's important for us to realize is that God sent Jesus to mankind because we needed a Savior. We talked a good bit about that last week. John 12:47, if anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge and condemn the world, but to save the world. The fourth thing we need to remember is that God sent Jesus to mankind to do his will. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, this is the words of Jesus, but to do the will of the one who sent me. That's all the agenda Jesus has, is to do the will of God who sent him. The fifth thing we need to look at is and remind ourselves is God sent Jesus to mankind to bear witness to the truth, to be a witness for God's truth. We see in John 18:37, so Pilate said to Jesus, then you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I'm a king. This is why I was born. For this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth and belongs to the truth, hears and listens carefully to my voice. God sent Jesus to us as a gift. We celebrate that, to bear witness to the truth. Number six, God sent Jesus to mankind to be his light. John 12:46, Jesus says, I've come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes and trusts in me as Savior, all those who anchor their hope in me and rely on the truth of my message, will not continue to live in darkness. There's all these facets of Jesus being given to us that would stoke the fire of worship in us. It should stoke the fire of celebration inside of us. Number seven, God sent Jesus to mankind to satisfy our deepest thirst. John 4, 13 and 14, for everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Speaking of natural water. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water satisfying his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life. God sent Jesus to us to satisfy our thirst. And number eight, God sent Jesus to mankind to reveal his glory. John 1, 14, and the Word, Christ, and Christ became flesh and lived among us. And we actually saw his glory, glory as to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. That's Jesus. So we can celebrate Jesus as the Son of God, not because hierarchy tells us anything. It's because God sent just Jesus to show his love, to show his heart, because we absolutely needed saving, because we see that he came to do his will, to bear witness to the truth, to show us light, to satisfy our thirst, and to reveal his glory. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And just as we say in my friend in the masonry business, he had some authority there because the Father had given him authority. The princes and the princesses of the world have authority because the King gives them that authority. So the bottom line is this, as we celebrate Jesus, we celebrate that Jesus is God's Son, that he was sent to represent him to us. Jesus wasn't just a second stringer. He was the one that was going to represent the Father. And what you see in Jesus is a reflection of God. Jesus, God's Son, was sent to carry out God's plan, not Jesus' plan. How many times do we get just a little bit of authority and we say, well, now it's time for me to do what I think I should do, when the authority that's been given to you has only come if you use his plan? Think about your workplace. There's no set of parameters and rules and guidelines that you go by. And maybe your boss is going to be gone one day and he says, listen, I'm leaving you in charge. Now, you can do that any way you want. But if you want favor in the boss's eyes, you will carry out what he has set to do and not worry about your little plan. And if there's anyone that could have had a plan on their own, it would have been Jesus. But he was only about the Father's business. Only about the Father's business. Years and years and years ago, we had a children's pastor. And he's way more than any of you will remember this one anyway, so don't try to figure it out. But he was going to be gone a Sunday. And he had a team of people. And he said he kind of laid out what he thought should happen. And when he came back, he found that the entire plan had been scrapped and the entire children's room had been redone. I mean, everything you can imagine had been changed. And as you can imagine, he kind of caught his breath. Wait a minute. This is not what I felt God said to do. This is not what should have happened. And that person took authority, even it was given the authority to lead, but with those parameters. But instead that, they just did their plan. I'm not saying God didn't use it or any of that stuff. I'm just saying that when there's an authority given, there's an expectation to what you're going to do. And Jesus was under that expectation from God. He was his Son. He went in place of God coming to earth. He chose that assignment. He signed up for the hardest thing. And this season we celebrate him as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. And we can't forget that he didn't stay a baby. He grew up into this mighty, mighty God representative, Son of God, reflecting his glory, reflecting his love, showing us his heart, saving us from our own devices, doing the will of the Father. He was standing for the truth that God had sent him to do, and he satisfied us in our thirst, and he showed us his light, and he showed us God's glory. Jesus, God's Son, was sent very purposefully to do the will of the Father, not to do his own thing. So that's why it's so important that we understand this concept of he was the Son of God here on this earth doing God's bidding. You think for one moment one of the princes could do anything they wanted to in their father, the king's name? No, it just doesn't work that way. But Jesus was willing to come and be a gift. And we celebrate it, and we say, and I keep pointing here because I think the manger ought to be right there today or something, but he's front and center of the celebration. And I love the festivities. I love the parties. I love the gifts. I love all that stuff. But front and center is Jesus. And we are worshiping him for who he is, the plan that God sent, the Redeemer that he is, the Son of God that he is. Today, we not only celebrate the plan that God had in sending Jesus, we not only celebrate him as our Redeemer, but we celebrate him as a Son of the living God. I love this account of Peter's complete realization of who Jesus actually was. We see it in Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets." And Jesus brought it home. He said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of the living God." There is no mistaking who Peter thought Jesus was. Once we grasp that fact, celebrating Jesus takes on a new form, a new fervor, a new priority. You see, the world would say that Jesus was a good man. Some would say that he's an important character in the Bible. Some others would say he even has the top personality in Scripture. But that's not how you describe Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd sent to take care of us. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. He is sent to this earth to do what God wants him to do. And God loves his people so much that he gave his prized possession and said, "Listen, I'm going to send my Son. And it's not going to be all glory for him, but it's going to work into glory to me." This is God speaking. How hard and how difficult it must be to send your Son somewhere where he's not going to be appreciated. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is the Son of God, the God, the flesh of God. When our twins were born, we had a good friend. She's still in the church, Lorraine King. Many of you know her. And she told me one Sunday after seeing them doing something, I don't know what they were doing, she goes, "I think you just spit them out." And I said, "Well, they might look like me, but they act just like their mother." But her idea of is that they were so much a part of us. And I want you to see Jesus that way. Now, it's really awkward to think about it. God spit him out, but God sent him. And he had a big purpose in plan. A big purpose. For our, not only redemption, but for us to even get to know God. God at that point was far off in his throne room. Honored and worshiped, yes. But Jesus come in the flesh. He came in the flesh, and it gives us this personal connection. A personal relationship. I want you to listen to this description of Jesus out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal, when he himself and no other had, by offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, accomplished purification from sin and established our freedom from guilt. And he sat down, revealing his completed work at the right hand of the majesty on high, revealing his divine authority. When Jesus took his seat, it just gives me goosebumps. When he took his seat of authority right beside the Father, you just knew that they were one. You just knew that Jesus was God in the flesh, and Jesus did what he was supposed to do down here, and guess what? He left us to continue the work. And one day we're going to be in heaven with him as long as we've received him as our Savior. And I love the fact that we can come to him with all the mess in our life and ask him to forgive us. And he does. I think the Son component is so important. And I love the idea that he was sent to do the Father's business. And with Jesus on sight, everybody listened. Everybody didn't agree, but everybody listened because he had authority. And it wasn't authority as though I ordained myself Jesus, the Son of God. No. God the Father planned all along to give him that authority so we'd come to this earth and he would do God's will. Isn't that amazing? We sometimes forget about that Son component, that the Son spoke for the Father and the Father poured his life into the Son. And the Son pours his life into us and has created this wonderful pathway for us to be communing with God. Yes, Jesus was the plan and still is the plan. Yes, Jesus is our great Redeemer. He continues to redeem. But Jesus was sent as a Son, sent to do the work of the Father. And when Jesus said something, it's because the Father told him to say it. If Jesus did something, it's because the Father told him to do it. Not because Jesus didn't have a mind of his own. He understood his purpose. He was here to conduct business, conduct Father's business. Just like any earthly prince will go and visit for the king, make royal visits all over the world, but they're not representing themselves, they're representing him. And that means because we've accepted Jesus, everywhere we go, we're representing Jesus. Everywhere we go, we're representing Jesus. It doesn't matter where you're going, you're going to represent Jesus. And listen, it's not going to always be warm and fuzzy and welcoming the message of Jesus. But that shouldn't it shouldn't keep us from doing what Jesus asked us to do. Jesus will go before us. The Holy Spirit will empower us. And God the Father is giving the signals. And he's saying, I want you to go here. I want you to go here. And he's running that through Jesus, who's our advocate, who has made a way for us to come to the Father. We can come right in the throne room. We were there today. We're there now. At the feet of Jesus, at the feet of God the Father. And he has commissioned us to go and do what he was doing. I know that seems really, really hard. And the enemy wants us to believe that it's very, very hard to do. But not with the power of God, it's not. There's nothing difficult for God. So that means there's nothing too difficult that God can't use his children to accomplish. Maybe you're here today and you've been just kind of wandering around. You're born again, accepted Jesus into your heart, but you just find yourself aimless, not really knowing which way to go. Listen, Jesus will give you he'll give you the route. And you just keep your eyes on Jesus. Move when he says move. When the center hikes the ball, the rest of the team knows it's time to get in. They're already in position, but it's time to complete the project. When Jesus speaks to us, he has given us divine orders straight from heaven. And he doesn't want us to complain about it or even argue with him in it. He also doesn't want us to think we can do it without him. God loves for us to be dependent upon him. That doesn't mean that we don't walk in confidence. We walk in his confidence. And the longer you walk in his confidence, the more that confidence becomes synonymous with who you are. I'm confident in Jesus. And I know that he'll lead me right. Now, I'm not stupid enough to know that I can miss him at times and not do exactly what he asked me to do. But God's here. Jesus is right here with us to kind of straighten things out. We went to our granddaughter turned 4 last week, so we had a little gathering up right outside of Asheville yesterday. And one part of the interstate had these concrete pylons. They're working on it. And you just can't veer off at all. And it just keeps you on the right path through the construction. And when construction is over, those barricades go away. And I was thinking, well, I don't really need these barricades. Susan would differ there. She would say, yes, you do. Because it keeps us mindful that there's danger on this side, there's danger on that side, and things aren't normal. But you come into a place, and the Bible calls it, he'll bring you into a wide place, that the barriers don't seem to be as close. And you have what we would consider this wide path of freedom. But God's still speaking, and he still wants us to do something. He might let you have a nap this afternoon because he knows this weather is going to lend toward that. But don't take that for him not going to activate you in what he brings in front of you. Who knows who you're going to come in contact with today? Who knows what word he's going to place in your heart to share? Some of you have difficult things to go through this very day. God's going to give you exactly what to say. And Renee, I feel that so strong for you to know a little bit about what's going on today. But God's going to give you the right words that will cut through the confusion. He's going to give you that today. And it's not only Renee that he's going to do that to. He speaks to his people. And he wants you to hear him clearly. And we've got to quiet ourselves long enough. Okay, I hear you, Jesus. I hear you. Given me the instructions of the Father. And I want to obey you. And I'm going to step where you tell me to step. And I'm going to stop where you tell me to stop. but I want to be faithful to you. And the Lord wants you to know that he wants you active in his army. He doesn't want you sitting around doing nothing. He wants you to be in step with him. When he says step, you step. Even if there are barriers that are pretty close, you just stay the course. And don't go wild when the barriers go away. Stay the course. It's so important that we listen for his voice. You say, well, how do you hear him? Well, sometimes some people have actually heard him audibly. He speaks through his word. But, you know, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a sense of him speaking in our spirit. And how do you know it's him? Well, it doesn't go against this. You can have all kind of crazy ideas and say, God told me to do this. Well, Noah had a crazy idea, didn't he? Straight from God. Many others of these Bible heroes we have had crazy ideas. So just because it's crazy doesn't mean it's not God. But it needs to line up with his word. That's how he speaks to us. And you need to have peace. You can say, how can I have peace in this situation? Listen, I have been in situations where there's no way you could have peace, and we have had peace because we're right in the middle of where God wants us to be. You know, this season, as we actually, we're in the final countdown of celebration, aren't we? Next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and you've got a lot of things that will try to draw your attention. But I want you to listen to the voice of the Son. I want you to be very, very aware of what he wants from you and how he wants you to do things this season, maybe different than any other time. But there is such a power in obedience. And I've said this a lot. I know what it feels like to disobey God, and I know what it feels like to obey God. And I'd far rather obey God and have that feeling than have the feeling I have when I've not done what he asked me to do. Now, the wonderful thing about God, he doesn't hold long accounts, meaning when you ask him to forgive you, he does, and he remembers your sin no more. So it's like even when we blow it, the power of Jesus is right there. The crucifying factor, the raising of the dead, of life is right there. That forgiveness of sin is instant when we repent. And then he just uses us right where we are. He continues on the path. We might think it was an exit we took, but God can redeem that. This season, celebrate Jesus any way you can, front and center. Do the other stuff too. Enjoy family, friends, enjoy parties, enjoy presents, all those things. But Jesus needs to be the center. Not only of our celebration, but our life. Jesus, the plan, Jesus, the Redeemer, Jesus, the Son. We celebrate Jesus today. Heavenly Father.